Finale. Help end this scandal. In my opinion, cigarette smoking is the biggest scandal in society, even more so than nuclear weapons. Surely the very basis of civilization, the reason why the human species has advanced so far, is that we're capable of communicating our knowledge and experiences not only to each other, but also to future generations. Even other species find it necessary to warn their offspring of the pitfalls in life. If nuclear weapons don't go off, there's no problem. The people who advocate nuclear armaments can carry on saying smugly, the weapons are keeping the peace. If they do go off, they'll solve the smoking problem and every other problem. And a bonus for the politicians is that there'll be nobody around to say, you were wrong. I wonder if this is why they support nuclear weapons. However, much as I disagree with nuclear weapons, at least such decisions are made in good faith, in the genuine belief that they help mankind. Whereas with smoking, the true facts are known. Maybe during World War II, people genuinely believed that cigarettes provided courage and confidence. Today, the authorities know that is a fallacy. Look at the cigarette advertisements nowadays. They make claims about the quality of the tobacco. Why should we be worried about the quality of a poison? The sheer hypocrisy is incredible. As a society, we get uptight about glue sniffing and heroin addiction. Compared with cigarette smoking, these problems are mere pimples in our society. As of 2002, about 22% of the American population and 26% of the British population were addicted to nicotine, and most of them spend the bulk of their pocket money on cigarettes. Tens of thousands of people have their lives ruined every year because they become hooked. Smoking is by far the biggest killer in society, and yet the biggest vested interest is the British Treasury. It makes £8 billion every year out of the misery of nicotine addicts. And the tobacco empires are allowed to spend millions per year advertising the filth. How clever that cigarette companies print health warnings on the packs. And the British government spends a pittance on TV campaigns involving cancer scares, bad breath and legs being chopped off. And then they justify themselves morally by saying, "We've warned you of the danger, it's your choice." The smoker doesn't have the choice any more than the heroin addict does. Smokers don't decide to become hooked. They're lured into a subtle trap. If smokers had the choice, the only smokers tomorrow morning would be the youngsters starting out believing they could stop any time they wanted to. Why the phony standards? Why are heroin addicts seen as criminals, yet able to register as addicts in England and get free heroin and proper medical treatment to help get off it? Just try registering as a nicotine addict. You can't get cigarettes at cost. You have to pay three times the true value. If you go to your doctor for help, either he will tell you, stop doing it, it's killing you, which you already know. Or he'll prescribe another form of nicotine addiction that will cost you a prescription fee and actually contains the drug you're trying to kick. Scare campaigns don't help smokers stop. They make it harder. All they do is frighten smokers, which makes them want to smoke even more. They don't even prevent teenagers from becoming hooked. Teenagers know that cigarettes kill, but they also know one cigarette will not do it. Because the habit is so prevalent, sooner or later the teenager, through social pressures or curiosity, will try just one cigarette. And because it tastes so awful, he will probably become hooked. Why do we allow this scandal to go on? Why don't governments come out with proper campaigns? Why don't they tell us that nicotine is a drug and a killer poison, that it doesn't relax you or give you confidence, but destroys your nerves, and that it can take just one cigarette to become hooked? I remember reading H.G. Wells's The Time Machine. The book describes an incident in the distant future in which a man falls into a river. His companions merely sit around the bank like cattle, oblivious to his cries of desperation. I found that incident inhuman and very disturbing. I find the general apathy of our society to the smoking problem very similar. In England, darts tournaments sponsored by tobacco companies are televised during peak viewing hours. There's a cry of 180. The player is then shown lighting a cigarette. Imagine the furor if the tournament was being sponsored by the mafia and the player were a heroin addict shown injecting himself. Why do we allow society to subject healthy young teenagers whose lives are complete before they start smoking to pay through the nose for the rest of their lives just for the privilege of destroying themselves mentally and physically in a lifetime of slavery, a lifetime of filth and disease? You may feel that I overdramatize the facts. Not so. My father was cut down in his early 50s because of cigarette smoking. He was a strong man and might still have been alive today if he'd never smoked. I believe I was within an inch of dying during my 40s, although my death would have been attributed to a brain hemorrhage rather than to cigarette smoking. I now spend my life being consulted by people who've been crippled by the disease or are in the last stages. And if you care to think about it, you probably know of many too. There is a wind of change in society. A snowball has started that I hope this book will help turn into an avalanche. You too can help by spreading the message. And a final warning. You can now enjoy the rest of your life as a happy non-smoker. In order to make sure that you do, you need to follow these simple instructions. 1. Keep this book safely in a place where you can easily refer to it. Don't lose it, lend it, or give it away. 2. If you ever start to envy another smoker, realize that he or she will be envious of you. You're not being deprived. The smoker is. 3. Remember, you didn't enjoy being a smoker. That's why you stopped. You do enjoy being a non-smoker. 4. Remember, there is no such thing as just one cigarette. And 5. Never doubt your decision never to smoke again. You know it's the correct decision. If you have any difficulties, contact your nearest Alan Carr clinic. A list of clinics appears in the materials contained with this CD.
The End.